Amen. Thank you, Helen. Well, we're going to continue now as we worship, and we're going to today be considering the question, can we make wise decisions? From the New Testament, Joe is going to come and read the passage now, Brother Joe, and take us through it in Luke, the Gospel of Luke, chapter 12. Luke chapter 12, and reading from verses 13 to 21, and then Brother Joe is going to lead us forward as we go.
Thank you very much. Well, good morning, everyone. Thank you for the invitation to preach today. It's very special to be invited to preach on the first Sunday of the new year, so thank you very much for that. Let me get my glasses on. So, Luke chapter 12. Reading from verse 13. It's the parable of the rich fool. Then one from the crowd said to him, Jesus, Teacher, tell my brother to divide the inheritance with me. But he said to him, Man, who made me a judge or an arbitrator over you? And he said to them, Take heed and beware of covetousness. For one's life does not consist in the abundance of the things he possesses. Then he spoke a parable to them, saying, The ground of a certain rich man yielded plentifully. And he thought within himself, saying, What shall I do? Since I have no room to store my crops. So he said, I will do this. I will pull down my barns and build greater. And there I will store all my crops and my goods. And I will say to my soul, Soul, you have many goods laid up for many years. Take your ease, eat, drink, and be merry. Sounds like Christmas, doesn't it? But God said to him, Fool, this night your soul will be required of you. Then whose will those things be which you have provided? So is he who lays up treasure for himself and is not rich towards God. And may the Lord add his blessing on the reading and the preaching of his word. Amen. Well, just a few minutes this morning because we've got communion. And the title of my sermon is this: Are you any good at making decisions? There are some people in this world who are people of action. Do we have any here? They can make 10 major decisions about life before breakfast. But not everyone's like that, is there? Are they? There are some people who can't even decide what they want for breakfast. I wonder what category you fit into. Some people dither, prevaricate, find it very difficult to make up their minds. Sometimes it's for a good reason. Ladies or gentlemen, let me ask you, have you ever seen your other half get ready for a wedding? Not your wife. She knows what dress she's going to wear. She's going to wear the big, fluffy white one. But have you seen the ladies trying to choose what outfit? My dear beloved Mandy was getting ready for a wedding recently, and she had about 5 possible outfits laying on the bed, and she was chopping and changing and seeing which bits could go. And if I changed the top, then I'd have to change my shoes, and then there'd be a new hat. And this went on for about an hour and a half. But it was for a good cause, wasn't it? Because she wants to look beautiful. But really, it's good to be someone who can make a reasonably firm decision in a reasonably short space of time. It's very important. But even if you're good making decisions, it's very important to make the right decision, isn't it? There's no point in quickly making a bad one. You've got to make the right decision. And I was thinking about this, and what came to mind was an early edition of the program, Who Wants to Be a Millionaire? Do you still watch that on the TV? It's not quite there as popular as it was. Anyway, for those of you who know, it's a quiz with multiple choice answers. Okay, so there was this, and the questions, that when you get asked the questions, every time you get one right, the amount of money you win goes up. And this was for the £1 million question. You get this right, you get £1 million. And the question was this. Name the plane in which the pilot Amy Johnson flew from England to Australia. I think it was in about 1935 or something like that. So let me give you it again. I want you to answer this question. £1 million on this. What was the name of the plane in which Amy Johnson flew from England to Australia? Now, she went 50-50, which means she got it down to two possible multiple choice answers. And the choice A was this, name of the plane, Jason. Choice B was Pegasus. Now, £1 million is riding on this answer. Is it A or is it B? Now, I was thinking to myself as I was sitting there watching it, wishing that I was in the chair that one in the studio. And I thought to myself, Jason. Now, Jason, it's Jason and the Argonauts, isn't it? That's a boat. Ah, but Pegasus. That's a flying horse, wings, aeroplane, isn't it? So I went for Pegasus. Put your hands up here if you would have gone for Pegasus. Yeah? If you would have gone for Pegasus, you would have lost £1 million. Because it was Jason. For reasons that are beyond my comprehension. But anyway, you see, life isn't really about just making decisions quickly. It's about making the right decision. And in the passage that we've just read, we've seen a man that has to ask himself a question, and the outcome of it is worth far more than £1 million. The outcome of it is worth far more than £1 billion, or however much money you can imagine. The question he has to ask himself is this: what am I going to do with the rest of my life? That's a good question to think about at the beginning of a new year, isn't it? What am I going to do with the rest of my life? Have a look at Luke chapter 12, verses 16 and 17. Then he spoke a parable to them, saying, the ground of a certain rich man yielded plentifully. He's got rich very quickly. God's been good to him. He's a farmer. He's got a great harvest. And he thought within himself, saying, what shall I do? What am I going to do with all this property? What am I going to do with all this time that I've got in front of me? He's got two choices, a bit like Who Wants to Be a Millionaire? Choice A, let's call it choice A, look after your soul. What does choice A encompass? Well, he could have said to himself, well, I've got life sorted out down here. I haven't got any more financial worries. Let me sort out the life to come. Now, why would he have been asking himself that question? Why would he even been thinking that way? Well, because he is a Jew. And because he's a Jew, he's been brought up with the Bible. All his thinking has been saturated by the Bible. And so because he's a Jew and he knows his Bible, he knows that it's very important to get ready for the life to come. Why? Well, because the Bible says there is a judgment day. And the Bible tells us and him that there is no such thing as reincarnation. There's no way to get a second chance. If you blow this life, that's it. What does it say in Hebrews? A man lives once and then comes the judgment. He knows. He knows that he'll be judged according to the Ten Commandments. He'll be judged because he's told lies. Do you tell lies? We will be judged. Do you steal? We will be judged. Do you commit sexual immorality? We will be judged according to his commandments. And he knows it's very important because there isn't just a heaven to gain or to be lost. There is a hell that you will go to if you do not go to heaven. It's a serious business, isn't it? Life. And what happens after you die? Why isn't he thinking about these things? Perhaps he is. But the other thing he knows, the other reason he knows he should consider these things is because God is merciful. Who were the people of Israel waiting for when Jesus turned up? Someone called the Messiah, the one who was going to come and take away sins. And when he came, he was going to be like a sacrificial lamb. Imagine this is the altar in the temple. And they used to bring a lamb, place it on the altar, and the one who brought the sacrifice would lay his hands upon the animal's head and ask that his sins be transferred from him to the animal. It's just a picture of what the Messiah would do when he would come. And that animal would die instead of the one who brought the sacrifice. And we're waiting for the Messiah to come and do that. That is choice A. What's choice B? Choice B is the party option. So he could have said to himself, "Whoa, forget about tomorrow. Let's live for today." That's what people do at Christmas, isn't it? On the build-up. Get into hideous amounts of debt because of the 25th. Forget about tomorrow and live for today. Don't think about dying. It's so depressing. It'll only spoil things. Forget God. Forget religion. All that Bible stuff, that'll really cramp me. I won't be able to enjoy myself if I'm thinking about that stuff. Blow all that. Let me live for today. Let every day be party time. I can afford it. See, there's two options for him. Two options for you and I as well. What decision did he make? Did he go for option A or did he go for option B? Well, have a look at Luke chapter 12. And let's read from verse 17 to 19. And he thought within himself, saying, "What shall I do since I have no room to store my crops?" So he said, "I will do this. I will pull down my barns and build greater. And there I will store all my crops and my goods." Nothing wrong with that, is there? Looking after your money properly. But look what he did next. "And I will say to my soul," he knows he's got a soul, "Soul, you have many goods laid up for many years. Take your ease, eat, drink, and be merry." Which option did he go for? The party option. How many people in this world go for the party option, even when they can't afford a party? How many people in this world are going for the plan for eternity option? How many people in this chapel are going for the party option? With a little bit of religion sprinkled over the top of it. And how many people here are going for the let me get right with God option. Big decisions, aren't they? Well, what do you make of his decision? It might be the one you've made. It doesn't really matter what you and I think of his decision. Do you know what really matters? Is what God thinks of his decision. And what did God think of his decision? Well, we don't have to guess, do we? Look at verse 20. But God said to him, fool. And I'm so sure he says it in a kind way. Fool. This night your soul will be required of you. Then whose will those things be which you have provided? So is he who lays up treasure for himself and is not rich towards God. You pick the party option over getting your soul sorted out for eternity option. And what does God say? You're a fool. Why? Well, just as we close now, two reasons, two very quick reasons why you're a fool if you pick that option rather than the other. The first one is this. Because living life as if you have many years guaranteed to you is foolish. If you go into Sainsbury's around the corner and you buy a pint of milk or 4 pints of milk, what do you look for, ladies? Gentlemen don't often look for this sort of thing. Sell by date, yeah? Do not use after whatever. It's a sell-by date on it. You know what Jesus, what the Lord is saying here? There is a sell-by date on you and me. It's a die-by date. God did not only choose the day of your birth. In fact, he chose the day of your conception. Not only did he choose the day of your birth, he's also chosen the day of your death. And you don't know when that is, do you? And people think, they chase after money because they think if they've got money, then it guarantees them decades. I used to work in the magistrates court just up the road. Southwestern Magistrates Court. And there was a chap there who was a retired policeman and he'd come in as a warrant officer. He'd arrest people who the court were looking for. He had a big pension accruing for being a police officer. He'd been a police officer 40 odd years. He had a pension added to that for being a warrant officer and working in the court. Just before he retired at the age of 65, guess what happened to him? Two of his relatives died, leaving him two whopping great houses around the edge of Wandsworth Common. How much are they worth? A couple of million each, something like that. And he had a retirement due. And he was thinking about all the stuff that he was going to do, all the places he was going to visit. All this money, all this pension. He was dead in 6 months. My brother-in-law, Les, we went up to preach. My wife comes from Liverpool. Went up to preach in a church up in Liverpool. And we were up there on the weekend of his 33rd birthday. And I said to my brother-in-law, I said, look, why don't you come to church on Sunday, listen to your brother-in-law preach. You could have a good laugh at me if you like. I don't mind. Just come along to church. No, he said, I'm organising my birthday party. I'm organising it all day. And he was driving backwards and forwards, up and down the road to Sainsbury's, getting this beer and everything. Just before midnight, on his birthday, having drunk far too much, he was four times over the limit, he overtook a car, went straight into a double-decker bus, died at the age of 33. I'm not telling you these things to try and shock you. I'm telling you these things because these are things that happen every single day. People leave this life completely unexpectedly. And do not think just because you're healthy or because you've got a few bob in the bank that you are guaranteed many, many years to make up your mind about option A and B. You, says the Lord, should make up your mind now. Now is the acceptable time. Now is the day of salvation, says the word of God. But what's the second reason you're a fool? if you choose party option instead of eternal life option. It's because what comes next is so awful. It's almost beyond description. We haven't got time to look at it now, but when you go home, have a look at Luke chapter 16 from verse 19, the parable of the rich man and Lazarus. It could be the rich man story that we find here in chapter 12. He's in agony, he's in flames, and he's crying out for mercy. And Abraham, speaking to him on behalf of heaven, says to him, there's no mercy for you. And not only that, there is no way out. But I'm in torment in these flames. You had your chance while you were alive. It is too late now. Well, anybody who puts a party before considering that, I'll say it kindly to you, you're a fool. Why does Jesus tell us the story of the rich fool? Why does Jesus tell us the story of the rich man and Lazarus? Just one very simple reason. Why does he mention hell and judgment? Because he doesn't want anyone to go there. Ladies and gentlemen, it's a new year. You're going to make a fresh start with Jesus. We're going to go for option A or option B. Amen.
Amen. Just going to ask us to bow our heads as we just follow up on that. And with your eyes closed, I'm not going to ask you to come up the front, but what a powerful challenge, incredibly powerful challenge the Word of God has brought this morning. And if it's just someone here who just knows that deep in their heart they need to start this year and get right and take the option of Christ over self strength and self-organization, and you just want to just be between you and God, just say, Lord, I want Christ. I don't want to rely on myself and on anything else but Christ alone. If you are at that point, you just want to do that, I'm just going to ask you, put up your hand before the Lord and just raise your hand and say, Lord, I want Christ. Amen. Thank you. Just put those hands. Thank you, those that are putting up their hands. It's good to make that commitment. We need Christ. Thank you. You can put your hand down now. Thank you. Father, for those who just raised their hands in the light of this incredible challenge, Lord, all of us need Christ like never before. But those who just want the surety of saying, I want you, Lord, I don't want anything else, who raised their hands a moment ago, touch them, Lord. Strengthen, help them to find that confidence in Christ alone, through the Word of God alone, by faith alone. We ask it in Jesus' name.